I love the Word of God.
Amen.
Well, I hope you love the Word of God. Our prayer is that as we went through this series, that you would have a greater desire to pick up the Word of God and read it and receive the personal message that's in it. But I do love the Word of God. We love the Word of God for almost 30 years now. We sat and thought, has it been 30 years? It's starting to feel like, oh, that's long. We've been reading and studying the Word of God, and it has drastically changed our lives.
Totally.
It's changed the lives of our children. It's changing the lives of our grandchildren, our entire family legacy. We shared some time ago a little bit about our own testimony, but our family legacy has changed, and I'd say for the absolute better.
Amen. Amen.
And we owe it all to the Word of God, because there's power in the Word of God to transform your life. Yeah. Amen. I mean, anybody who's been reading the Word of God for any length of time and applying it in their life, how many would you say, my life is slowly changing? Yeah. I mean, it's just, there's power in the Word of God to do that. And God is a God of restoration, and He's a God of wholeness.
Right.
Okay, this is on your outline, Luke 19:10. It says, for the Son of Man, as Jesus, has come to seek and save that which was lost. And so being lost spiritually, we also lost a lot of things in our spiritual lostness. We lost the sense of our true identity, our sense of who we are, like our dignity and worth. And so the salvation that Jesus offers us, offers you and me, you know, to save us, also brings restoration and wholeness to every part of our life. There's potential for that, for every part of our life, to restore whatever was lost. I mean, it could be just scars from childhood, something you missed out on, something that was stolen from you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, so whatever needs to be restored to wholeness, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, Jesus can bring healing to every part of your life. That's really good news. You know, look at Joel 2:25. It says this, I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten. Some of us have had some things
come on.
That the locust has eaten from our lives. And so how does God restore? How does He bring wholeness into our lives? I mean, does He just, how does He lift us out of the pit and put us on a firm foundation with Him? Restore the years that we say the locusts have eaten in our lives. How does He do it? Does He just command a big angel to come down one day in your life and wave a wand over your life and say, now all things are restored for you? I wish that was His plan. Wouldn't it be a lot easier if that was His plan? But he doesn't do that. How many of you have been waiting for that angel?
Not happening, folks.
It's not happening.
No.
So how do our lives become restored? This is what this message series is about, like learning to love the Word of God. Because the key to, like, when we look at our lives and we think, how did our lives over the years become radically, really transformed?
Yep.
It was discovering and believing in faith that the Word that God speaks is alive and active. It is alive and active. And when you receive it by faith in your heart and you begin to act upon it in your life, things start to change. So when we spend time reading and studying the Word of God, we're actually spending time with God. It's not just information on a page. I mean, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and
Amen.
The Word is God. So
Samuel.
You're spending time with Him. It's like telling God, you know, that you're important enough to me that I want to just make it a priority. I want to sit down and talk to you. I want to listen to what you have to say to me about my life. And then as I take time to do that, as I take time to read and just think on the Word of God in a deeper way as I'm reading it, it starts to sink down a little, you know, from my mind down into my heart, and my understanding grows. And I begin to understand His thinking.
You become a doer of the Word.
Yeah, and the whole point is to slowly let go of my thoughts. Like, how many of us know? I mean, we've talked about this. When you come to Christ, when you are born again, you come with a lot of old, wrong thinking. Because we've been tuned in to everything that the world tells us is right and good. And so God has His own thoughts on what's right and good. And so we must just slowly let go of our own thoughts and begin to take His thoughts. And then He starts to, as we read, He starts to work in our mind by the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
all of this is with the goal to make us more like Jesus. I mean, in our outward lives. So he starts to change our attitudes about things, our perspectives about life. I mean, sometimes people think, well, you know, read the word of God, you're going to get brownie points with God. He's going to see you do that, and he's going to say, now, you know, you're just really awesome. But, you know, you could sit down and read the word of God and then just be like, all right, I read a chapter. I feel better about myself. Okay, time for the day. And you get really nothing out of it.
Right.
And you read, but you're not necessarily learning anything. So we need to read and study the word of God, you know, so that our mind and heart is open and engage with the Lord. Like, really believe that I'm sitting down with God. What do you want to say to me, Lord, as you just open up one of the Gospels? And so if you aren't learning anything, if you'd say, well, I'm sitting down, but I'm not learning anything, then it's really not going to do you much good.
No.
So it's important that we allow the word of God, we read it in faith and allow it to just permeate our mind, permeate our thoughts. And if we will receive it humbly, like we must approach the word of God in humility.
Yes.
Like, I don't know anything. You know everything. Talk to me, you know. Begin to show me about myself and my life. And allow his word. This is part of that humility. We have to allow his word to correct us. How many of you have been reading the word? You're just nicely going along, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, ow, oh, oh. That's all for our good.
Yes, right.
We shouldn't go, oh, I'm such an awful person. No, the Lord, I mean, we become a child of God. So he's saying, I want to teach you about who you really are. So we have to be correctable, just like you would want your child to be correctable, right? You just start to show them, no, no, don't do that. That's wrong. That's, well, if you're a good parent, that's, you want your child to listen and obey that, and it goes well with them. And that's the way that it is with us, with the Lord. I mean, it's all about slowly but surely bringing him glory. Because when our lives are transformed more and more into the image and likeness of Jesus, it does bring God's glory.
Amen.
In the earth.
Amen.
And now, he's pleased with that.
Yeah, last week we, if you didn't listen last week, it's important teaching, that's for sure. We spent time talking about casting down wrongful imaginations. And yeah. Pastor Mamie, mm-hmm. you brought this up too, that we came out of the world and the world had taught us until we were born again. And then the world still teaches you unless you start to renew your mind to the Word of God. Yeah. And we showed a picture last week of strongholds that get built up in your mind. And those strongholds are developed by the devil to keep the presence of God out. Yeah. Because the presence of God wants to touch your heart so that you can have this life change. We do have old beliefs that are from the world that are contrary to the Word of God. And that teaching that we spoke of last week talks to us about taking every thought captive. And how many know you got tons of thoughts going through your mind?
Yeah.
Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And that means to the obedience of the Word of God. And if you're not in the Word of God, you have no clue what to judge it against.
Yeah.
All you know is what you know. And that's dangerous.
Right.
We want to know what God wants us to know. Amen?
Amen?
Yeah. So pulling down these strongholds are vital for us if we want to experience the life of God, if we want to experience why we were created in the first place, and what our mission is on this planet. So we have to find out what God says about that issue that we're dealing with in life so that we can pull down those strongholds. And that is spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
And you mentioned it earlier. Spiritual warfare means engagement.
Yeah.
No passive ground.
Yeah.
No neutral ground. You know, a warfare, spiritual warfare means there is a fight involved.
Yeah.
And we take our stand on the Word of God.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it is the You got to remember, you have an enemy who is opposed to God, opposed to the kingdom of God, and is opposed to you. Mm-hmm. The devil hates all mankind because when he and the angels fell, they were never offered forgiveness.
Yeah.
When man fell, we were offered forgiveness. Therefore, he hates all mankind. Even those who serve him the most, he treats the worst. Can I hear an amen? So we have this enemy, but God has not left us here to wander aimlessly through life.
Right.
He says all power and authority has been given to him in heaven and earth. Therefore, you go. He is giving all that authority, and we now operate in delegated authority. And it is delegated through his word. Our weapons of our warfare, remember what we read, are not carnal. They're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and the shield of faith, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. You know, we have to understand that that shield of faith will help us. It is a defensive weapon, and it can be used as an offensive weapon. We have an offensive weapon. We have a defensive weapon. So in order for us to wage warfare in an effective way, we have to study the Word of God.
I just already graduated. I don't need to study.
There's a terrible statistic that I read that something like 78 to 80% of people don't read a book after they graduate high school. Don't let that be you,
yeah,
amen?
Amen, yeah. So.
If you're only going to read one book, I suggest this book. Well, we have come to the last message in this series, and we came out with 11 reasons why we love the Word of God. I think we started off with a I think 15, 16.
Well, I don't know. We could have probably had
it's a thousand.
25. Yeah. We kept whittling it down. It's like 15 is probably too many to try to do in one service.
And so we wanted to go to 10, but we couldn't go to 10, so we got 11. So you're stuck with 11.
Right. Part 10 with 11 reasons.
So here we are. We're up with 11 of them. And the first one is the Word of God points us to truth. It's on your outline there. The first one is the Word of God points us to truth. Contrary to the world's public opinion, there remains only one truth.
Yeah.
And we had made mention of this in one of our sermons, that there is a bridge in Oslo, Norway, that is lit up in the night that says truth is flexible. Truth is not flexible.
Yeah.
If it was flexible, then we have to come up with a new word.
Yeah, right.
Because truth is truth.
Yeah.
And the world likes to redefine things, amen?
Yeah.
It's redefined the meaning of marriage, the meaning of gender, the meaning of morality, what was agreed globally as wrong is now considered right. What was agreed as bad or evil is now considered good. But you and I, we must know where to look for truth.
Amen.
And it's not on the internet unless you go to Bible Gateway or you go to Bible Hub or you go to one of the Bibles that are available there. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. It doesn't say, I am a way, I am a truth, and I am a life. No, the. And that means only.
Yeah.
The only. I know this, John 17, great chapter. This is what Jesus prays for us. I'm going to start off in verse 15. It'll come up on your on the screen. He says, Jesus is saying this, and this was right before he went to the cross. He says, I do not pray for you. that you, he's talking to the Father, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I send them into the world. Not only does the truth of God's word benefit your life, my life, but we are not to keep silent out in the world. Amen. Jesus has sent us in the world just as the Father sent him into the world to be a witness. And all believers are containers of the light of God's presence. All believers are the voice of God. So we better be speaking the right thing. We better represent him properly. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Yes. We cannot remain silent. None of us.
No, because the world is getting louder and louder with their opinions. And it's often loudly opposite of the word of God. And so the church, you know, must.
We like that. John 17, you got it right. Let's go.
See, that's a Siri point.
Maybe we should read the whole thing. I'm all for it.
So we cannot remain silent about what we believe. God wants us to stand up because he said, I sent you into the world to be a light into the world. So number one, the word of God points me to truth. Number two, the word of God has the supernatural power to give you birth as a son or daughter of
God.
That's
right.
Wow. It gives you, has supernatural power to give you birth as a son or a daughter of God. See, the message of the gospel, when people share the message, whether it's in standing up here in a church or even one-on-one with a friend, when you're sharing the gospel message, there's actually supernatural power in those words.
Yep.
And it gives birth. There's something that changes. When a person receives it in the message in faith, you're receiving salvation. There's something supernatural that is going on. Look at James 1:18. It says, it was of his own, this is God, it was his own will that he gave us birth, you know, as his children by the word of truth. Here
there
we go again with truth. So that we would be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. A prime example of what he created to be set apart to himself, sanctified, made holy, for his divine purposes. So we're born again. In 1 Peter, it says, not of corruptible seed, but the incorruptible seed of the ever-living word of God. So the message carries the power to change a heart. The Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God unto salvation for anyone who will believe it. Anyone. So what is the gospel message in a nutshell? It's the message about man's sinfulness and the need for forgiveness and reconciliation with God. I mean, God looks at our lives and he knows what's at stake. This is the problem. The devil, it said, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers. People are walking around spiritually blind and not realizing there's something very important at stake behind the scenes of everyday life.
Right.
And what is it? The gospel tells us that heaven is at stake, or hell, that after we leave this life, there's only two places that a person spends eternity, in eternal life or eternal death. And so the Lord God, our Father, knew this, knowing that if these people stay in their sin and lostness, they're all going to become under my condemnation and wrath, and they're going to be lost eternally and spend eternity separated from God in hell. And so in his love, he sends his son,
yes,
Jesus, to die on a cross, pay the penalty for your sin and my sin. Yeah. By the blood of Jesus, Jesus's blood is shed. He pays the penalty. He goes into the grave. He rises from the grave, victorious over the grave. For our justification,
yes,
when he rose from the grave, we were justified. Our penalty was paid in full. And when a person believes that message by faith, because you cannot work your way into heaven. People think, I'm just going to live a good life and do the best thing that I can and just try to be a good person. There are going to be a lot of good people, sad to say, in hell. Because it's not your good works that'll ever qualify you for heaven. It's the forgiveness that Jesus offers you. And when a person repents, they realize, I need that forgiveness. I want to be a child of God. I want to walk this path here now and on into eternity. When they accept that by faith as a gift, then their supernatural birth takes place. Just listening to this message today will give you the power, if you are not born again, to receive. Yes. I want to receive. That's all that the Lord is asking for is a response. You don't have to pay your way into heaven. It's a heart. It's a heart response to the Lord Jesus. And so this is why we love the Word of God, because it gives birth to people's salvation. And that's the most awesome gift any of us could be given in this life. And so then the third reason, we're going to go on, the third reason that we love God's Word is that it teaches me obedience and holiness then, and how to be pleasing to God. We've been saying this the last couple of messages that, you know, Jesus is the gate. He said, it's a narrow gate and a narrow path. And, you know, it's a narrow gate because just like Pastor Steve was saying, he's the way, the truth, the life. Just narrow, but it's welcoming to everybody to come on the path. But it's the path of obedience and love and devotion to the Lord is what the Bible teaches. And so the Word of God teaches me obedience and holiness and how to live a life that's pleasing to God. How would I know it if I didn't read?
Come on.
It's like I'm in a whole new family. I'm in a whole new culture, a whole new kingdom. You come from the world. We must open the Bible and read to find out, well, now, what's this all about? What did you give me? What are you expecting of my life? And so a life that's pleasing to God and brings him glory, it requires obedience to the Word of God. Look at John 14:23 says, Jesus answered, if anyone really loves me, he will keep, and that means obey, he will keep my word and my teaching, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling place with him. In fact, if you'll go back and read just John 14 later on, in one chapter, Jesus says three times, if you love me, you'll obey me. That's a lot in one chapter.
Come on.
I mean, I think he's saying, take heed. I mean, it's the acid test of whether we are really born again or obedience to his word, because the Christian life is a call to a set-apart life. There is no doubt about it. It's a call to a sacrificial life. I mean, in Jesus, over and over in the Gospels, he makes that plain. When you begin to read, you see he's saying, you're going to have to give up your life if you want to find my life, like true life. And so we enter that narrow gate, and, you know, all the whole way through, it is a narrow path in the sense that you're going to be tested on whether you want to stick with this or not. By time, when your prayers aren't answered the way, in the timing that you want them to be answered, you're going to be tested by circumstances you don't like.
Yep.
And how long they last, you know. Or inconveniences and sacrifices that God is going to ask you to make to give up your life in order to serve him. I mean, I'm making it plain because there's no way around it. When you read the Word of God, you know, if the Word says that Jesus, our Master, had to learn, he learned in Hebrews, it says obedience by what he suffered. See, so our obedience is going to cause some suffering in our life. Our flesh is not going to get its way all the time. But if we're following the Master, and we are, then we shouldn't let ourselves get all bent out of shape. What?
Yeah.
You want me to obey? It's like, It's like the Lord would be like, that's right. And so, you know, you and I think the church grows stronger. And in unity, when we understand we're all in this together, nobody's getting their way. We're all on this narrow path together. And in fact, when you join a church and a group of people that are sincere about this, it gets a little bit easier because you trade stories, and it's like, this is what's going on in my life, and this is, you know, how it is for me. We can encourage one another and keep spurring one on another. Don't quit. You know, I understand, you know, that it takes time, and we could use these words to comfort one another as we've been comforted from the Lord. And so we'll go
it's
on to number
so true.
Four.
It is so true. Number four, here we take a look at this. It says, the Word of God teaches me what to value. and what not to value in this life. Wow. We in America, we have the land of opportunity. Just go on the internet and go shopping. What
really.
Kind of choices do you have?
It could drive you crazy. You have so many options.
Oh, my gosh. The opportunities to choose from. And at an early age, now, moms and dads, don't do this to your kids. They're telling the kids in junior high school, oh, what are you going to be when you grow up? Oh, what are you going to be when you grow up? Oh, what are you going to be when you grow up? We didn't even realize our true purpose in life until we were at age 35. Then God says, no, I don't want you to do what you're doing. I want you to come follow me. And so we did. You can tell what a person values. You can tell what you value. What do you spend your time doing? Everybody has maybe not everybody has a checkbook. But you have a credit card statement. Look on that credit card statement. That'll tell you what you value. That'll tell you what you value. There's where you judge yourself, folks. What do you spend your time doing? What do you spend your treasure doing? What do you spend your talent doing? Do you put all your eggs in a basket at your job, hoping that you advance and you become up the ladder in the corporate world, and then all of a sudden now you're the big boss, and then here's what God will do. He says, you wasted all that time. That's not what I wanted you to do. And then where are we going to find out what God wants us to do? You know, if you take a look at these 11 things here and you go back to it, take a look at that. And how many times does it say the Word of God on them? The Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God. It's a clue, folks. It's a clue. The Word of God. If you're not reading it, I'm telling you what, you're missing out. You really are. You are missing out. See, Jesus understands the human nature, that's for sure. He knew that it would be easy for us to misplace our values.
Yeah.
As we go through life, there's going to be lots of things that get thrown at us. Lots of detours that we could take, amen? But what we've got to do is learn to hold on to just what Pastor Mamie just read there. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey me. How many know that includes suffering? How many know that you in America, you're not suffering? Go to Turkey. Go to Iran, go to Iraq, go to China, go to Africa.
You heard that.
What'd she say?
She said, I'm suffering working in sheets. Sometimes our jobs are a place where, it's true though, the Lord will teach us. He'll teach us sometimes in those settings.
Yes, he
just
will.
Just allow those settings to be a place where he refines us for whatever
He does
reason.
Refine us. Have we all arrived? Has anyone in here yeah. arrived? Does he still chisel off and sand the edges down on our lives? Even us.
Even us, yeah, we definitely.
Oh, yeah. And I know most of you are so spiritual, you don't mind it. Oh, yeah, Lord, sand that a little bit more. Oh, chip that off here. It's looking good, Lord. Yeah, it's looking better. Yeah, that's for sure. No, but at the end, that's what we're going to say, amen? But here's the key. We're to value what he values. You know, it says in Proverbs, love what he loves and hate what he hates.
Yeah. But we do misplace our values.
We absolutely we do. Do misplace our values.
I mean, we worry
about
money.
Yeah.
You know, people, we worry about money. We don't have enough money, or then we have a lot of money. Scripture says about heaping up treasures for ourselves, just the use of our time.
Yeah.
You know, our talent, like what are we doing with it for ourselves? Jesus warned about burying our talents, that he gave everybody gifts to use for the sake, again, of building his kingdom, not just
helping
for ourselves. And I think
right.
that's what happens. We put the value on the gift. I mean, maybe there is a gift to go up in the corporate ladder. That's okay as long as you're giving God glory in the midst of that work setting. And I think that's part of it. Not everybody's just called to be in ministry.
Right.
We are all ministers of reconciliation. So wherever we are, in the workplace, in our neighborhood, in our home,
but here's
God
the key.
Is saying that the value is to let him be known and not bury that talent.
Yeah, you can't
to serve God and people and learning to trust God in the midst of all of it. I mean, that this is what God values. God values faith and trust in him. So whatever setting you're in, he's saying, do you trust me or are you doing this in your own strength? And I think that's part of what...
And it goes right back to here. If we put this as a baseline, it's on your outline, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Right. Yeah.
And all these things will be added to you. And that's why we have to study the word of God. We have to seek. We have to know what God values.
Yeah.
And then you and I have to conform to what he says. We have to move your life, mold your life around what he says is valuable.
Right.
And after a while, it's not a drudgery. You're going to find life in it.
Right.
You're going to find real life in it.
Yeah.
You're going to find excitement in it.
So the fifth, let's go on. Well, the fifth reason that we love the Word of God, the fifth one, is the Word of God teaches me who I really am. Teaches me who I really am. I mean, you might sit here and think, well, I know who I really am, but do you? Because I think anybody who's ever opened up the Word of God and sincerely read and wanted to ask themselves, who am I? And you start reading in places like Ephesians that he's loved you from the foundation of the world, that he had his eye on you.
Yes.
For good works, to invite you into his family. That's enough to meditate on for a long time to help you understand who you really are. Because none of us understood that when we came out of the world. We just thought, well, I don't know, I grew up where I grew up, and I grew up, you know, with my parents I had and the siblings and all that, and this is who I am. But it's not really who you are. It's not really the purpose for your life to just travel that path, because as I said, it's so important. God's a God of restoration. You might not have had a very good beginning in your life, maybe wounds from childhood and such things like that, but in Christ you've been made spiritually new. What does that mean? Well, in Christ you have a new future, a new legacy, a new bloodline. You know, sometimes we're into this DNA testing and my bloodline. Well, we actually have, thank God, a new bloodline, the blood of Christ.
Amen.
You know, you're a child of God. And so as a man, the scripture says a man thinks in his heart so easy. So what if our thinking is off base from what God has said about you? This is important. Because then we just live a defeated life. We've been given a great inheritance from the Lord. And it's up to us to believe and allow it to just sink into our heart. I mean, many people who come to church, and depending even what church teaches you, don't understand
who
they are in Christ.
That's really good.
And there's over 100 verses in the New Testament that speak. When you start to read the Bible, you realize it does say a lot of in him, in Christ. There's a lot of that in there. And you have to stop and think, so now I'm in him. I'm part of his body. This is its incredible truth. We're part of the very body of Christ. Made one with him.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it needs we all need revelation and mind renewal to walk in it. It says, in him I'm adopted. In Christ I'm adopted into a new family. Born again. I've been made alive, it said, in Christ. And seated with him at the right
there
hand of the Father.
I'm all for that.
Take some time. Don't just skim over that truth. Let it sink into your heart that we have been delivered from the power of sin and darkness. We're translated into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So everywhere I go now, you know, I'm the kingdom of God is within me. And he's saying, bring the kingdom, you know.
Yes.
But how can I bring the kingdom if I'm all confused in my own head about it, right? Right. It's hard to do it. I've been given a purpose and a call, it says in Scripture. So we find our true identity in the Word of God, and we need the help of the Holy Spirit.
Can I say amen?
To understand.
Yes. Come
it's
on.
Just like we spoke last week about casting down imaginations and pulling down strongholds. We don't do this in our own strength. You make a determination in your will, but it's the power of Christ that comes that does it. And so we need the power of the Holy Spirit to even understand, to begin to take into
right.
our spirit and our mind what this truth is. So Ephesians 1:18 says this. This was a prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed for the church in Ephesus to have the eyes of your heart. He said, I pray that having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you would know, you may know what is the hope to which you've been called and what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in
wow.
the saints. And that scripture goes on to say, in the exceeding greatness of his power that's at work in the people who believe. I mean, see, we have to be believers.
Yes.
Because the world will scribble on your heart, you know, want to tell you who you are. This is who you are. And the scribbles often are ugly. They're
Come
not
on.
Nice.
Come on.
They can be downright evil because they're coming from Satan, like Pastor Steve was saying, who hates us. And so we need to let the Word of God, you know, write on our heart. Yeah. It's a love story to us.
Come on.
Of his love for us. Exactly. And our inheritance that we have. And he's saying, come to me and learn of me. Yeah. That's our truth. So this is why we love the Word of God, because it helps us to understand who you really are.
Yeah. The next one is the Word of God. Maybe you want to circle that. The Word of God. The Word of God teaches me how to think.
Amen. I mean, all of these are helping us
right.
do that, isn't it?
This is,
this
is, we've said it over and over and over again. The greatest need for the church of Jesus Christ is to have our minds renewed to the Word of God.
Yeah.
And if you think wrong, your believing will be wrong, your speaking will be wrong. The Bible declares that the spirit of faith is you believe in your heart and you speak with your mouth.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking wrong, you're going to believe wrong, you're going to speak wrong. You're going to start to agree with the devil. And when you start to agree with the devil, because we've all had practice at it, it seems to happen real quick, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. But when we start to believe God's word and agree with God's word, it takes a long time for that ship to get turned around.
Yeah.
But it's worth every effort that you can. Pastor Mamie's out of Proverbs. It says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So you can't hear what we're saying here one time and think you've got it.
Exactly.
Let me give you a news flash. You don't got it at all. Just made you feel good because the anointing of God is on his word. And so that was received into your heart. It's a seed form. It's just a seed. It's just a seed. So now when you start to think the same thing over and over and over again, you're watering that seed, you're watering that seed, you're watering that seed. That seed starts to grow. That seed starts to grow. That seed starts to grow up. But then we talked about the value. Jesus knows this. If you are having that word grow and then all of a sudden you get off track with your values, then that chokes the word out.
Yeah.
You get no fruit. But Jesus says that if you love me, you obey me. And we stay that and we persevere into the end, what's going to happen is you're going to have that fruit that you've been thinking about along the Word of God, along the Word of God, that fruit will produce.
Right.
Pastor Mamie said something really, you know, that was just really good. That the world scribbles on your heart, doesn't it? Yeah. And most of the time what it scribbles on your heart is pretty ugly. Yeah. Yeah. You're a loser. Nothing works out for you. Nobody likes you. You're an oddball. But look at, this is what happens with your heart. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. This is talking about Jesus and the church. The church is his bride. You and I are the bride of Christ. And it says that he, Jesus, might sanctify her, you and I, the church, having cleansed her by the washing of the water of the word.
Yes.
Understand that those scribble marks on your heart can be washed off by the water of the word.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you can find out, like we've said here, who you really are.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
This so is a good kind of brainwashing, amen?
Amen, yeah, right. That's the, yeah. We need that, that's right. So number seven, the seventh reason we love the Word of God. And again, we could go so long on so many on these things. The Word of God, number seven, contains healing and delivering power.
Come on. Amen.
The Word of God contains healing and delivering power. Look at Proverbs 4:20. It says this, "My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart." Why? Verse 22, "For they are life to those who find them."
There we go.
"And healing to all their flesh." Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. I mean, sickness and disease and destruction was never a part of God's original plan for his family,
right,
the children. I mean, what good parent would want sickness and disease, you know, for their family? So, I mean, in Genesis, when God created the earth and Adam and Eve were to populate the earth, he gave them dominion over the earth. There was no sickness or disease or destruction in the picture. And at that point, God kept saying, and he pronounced everything is good. He blessed it all. He said, this is good.
Right.
This is good. It was when sin came into the picture that the whole world became subject to bondage and decay. Right? Even the plant and animal kingdom.
Right.
Jesus said, you know, he came to do the will of the Father. When he came to the earth, Scripture says he came to destroy the works that the devil had done. Okay? So he went about doing good. It said, and healing.
There you
healing
go.
All who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so the things that he did in the Gospels, he still desires to do today.
Yes, he does.
Right? So we love the Word of God because it contains the power to heal. And then number eight, we love
number
the Word.
Number eight, we love the Word of God because it's your supernatural weapon against the devil and darkness.
Yeah.
We said this last week that the greatest trick the devil's ever pulled is to convince the world that he doesn't exist.
Yeah, because, yeah, if you don't.
And, of course, if you believe that, then you have no defense against him because he doesn't exist. And he'll come in and steal everything you have. He'll give you everything that he's got, which is none of it's good.
Well, it'll keep you so distracted.
Or sick. Yeah.
Well, or just in good things, but they're not necessarily.
The Word of God tells us very clearly that the devil and demons are real. Jesus can, he says the thief, Jesus is talking about Satan, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. There's your great theological debate is finished, folks. Amen. Jesus came to give life and give it more abundantly. The devil came to steal, kill, and destroy. Check it all out.
Right.
That's how you judge.
Right.
Hello.
I mean, and look at the world. Hollywood is making billions of dollars producing horror movies. I mean, on Netflix, Amazon Prime, just filled with series that often are exalting demonic stuff.
True.
I mean, there's just a million things in the past 10 years. Twilight, the love for vampires, the Long Island Medium, Lucifer. There's a new one coming out I saw this fall called Evil. Yeah. I mean, people pay a lot of money to watch these movies, open up their mind to demonic things, and then sometimes, you know, but put no understanding in that these things are real.
Come on.
And in fact, you know, we end up glorifying the devil because we think, ha ha, this is just, you know, it's just entertainment for the mind. But the church, you know, I guess like Ephesians 6:17, I guess if we...
There it is. You know, like when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against him.
Yeah.
The standard against him is the word of God.
Yeah.
And he's already got it. He's waiting for you to speak it out of your mouth. And then Ephesians 6:17, it says, take up the helmet of salvation and what? The sword of the Spirit, which is the
word of God.
That's it. So when the devil tempted Jesus in the wilderness, this is, gives you the exact definition of how you and I should operate in spiritual warfare. When those thoughts came to Jesus, he didn't hold on to those thoughts, did he? No. He cast them down. And he cast them down by saying, it is written.
Yeah.
It is written. It is written. Now, you and I have no strength, no ability, no wisdom to overcome the devil on our own.
Yeah.
He has been here longer than you have. However, he is afraid that when you speak the word of God to the subject matter that he's bringing to your mind, in faith, believing in your heart, speaking out of your mouth, that's when the devil is afraid.
Yeah.
He will flee from you. It's the sword of the Spirit that cuts him.
Yeah.
And it's painful to him. There is no doubt about it.
Yeah.
It hurts him. You're smacking him with the sword of the Spirit. Smacking him with the sword of the Spirit.
And that's a good says, visual, right? When I'm speaking them.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, what you want to have happen is the devil, when he's walking down your street, saying, oh, let's go on the other side. I know they live here.
Yeah.
That's what you want to have happen.
Yeah, that's right. So let's go on here. We have number 9. The Word of God teaches me how to love and forgive as God loves and forgives.
Yep.
All right. Love and forgiveness. I mean, I think learning to walk in love and forgiveness is one with one another is one of our greatest challenges, right? I mean, when we feel we've been hurt, our flesh just wants revenge and payback, right? So forgiveness, let alone reconciling with a person, you know, is hard work. Our flesh would just rather get angry, hold a grudge, just shut down, walk away, say, I'm done. And none of that are healthy responses. Because you're just holding on to unforgiveness, and it really is poisoning you, poisoning your own heart.
Correct.
And this is what Colossians 3:13 says, bearing graciously with one another and willingly forgiving each other if one has a cause for complaint against one another. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so should you forgive. And so a key to helping us to walk in love and forgiveness is meditating on how much the Lord has forgiven you.
Come on.
How much you've been forgiven. Well, I've been forgiven through Christ. He saved us, forgave us when we were didn't deserve it. We were dead in our sin, it said, and he was gracious to give us salvation.
Amen.
We didn't deserve that kind of kindness. And so with God's love, it says in Romans 5, has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. That kind of love and forgiveness to when it seems like this person is undeserving, we have the capability to do it when we yield to, we go, I'm yielding to God's love in me.
That's right.
To do this.
Right. The next one is the Word of God gives me peace in the midst of a storm. Can anybody say amen to that? Yeah, because Jesus said, in this world you will have tests and tribulations, amen? And we don't need to have faith for that. It just happens. But if we build our life and our trust on the Word of God, which is building your house on the rock, when those floods, when those storms come against you, you're going to be able to stand.
Yeah.
This is a great scripture. It's Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. And Jesus is speaking here. It says, everyone who comes to me and hears my what?
Word.
And does them. I will show you what he's like. He's like the man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the streams broke against the house and could not shake it, because it had been well built and founded on the rock. But the one who hears and does not do them is like the man who built his house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great.
Yeah.
And the word of the Lord is that rock you can build your house on, so that when the storms of life come, you can stand and keep on standing and having all the done. Stand, therefore, and stand firm in faith.
Yeah, amen.
Because the devil roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And if you're on the word, you're on the rock, he cannot devour you.
Yeah, that's right. Number 11. We made it to 11. Yeah.
And it's still Sunday.
Yeah, we're going to get out on time. The Word of God tells me how to prepare for eternity and the judgment to come.
Come on.
This goes back to our salvation. The Word of God tells me how to prepare for eternity and the judgment to come. You know, I think sometimes we mention this in church, and it can create some uncomfortable feelings. It's like, oh, let's have a little more word of encouragement here. Judgment to come, you know, can sound pretty somber and serious, but it actually in Hebrews is considered an elementary teaching and doctrine of Christ. If you read Hebrews chapter 6 at the beginning, it says that. Let's move on past, the writer says, the elementary teachings, and one of them it says, in the judgment to come. And so I believe that the church needs a refresher on this.
Yep.
Is what is going on behind the everyday scenes of life. This is what God is doing. This is his purpose, is to seek and save the lost. Because when you breathe your last, it's too late. That's, now is the time. Today, scripture says, is the day of salvation. And so we don't, even if it makes us uncomfortable, the stakes are so high that we must talk about it.
Come on.
You don't want to get to eternity. I don't want somebody in here to get to eternity and go, I went to the community life church and I never heard one thing. What? Like, what is this all about? No, you'll be well prepared for that day. Because this is what's at stake, and we're going to read this and then maybe
Matthew 25. This is Jesus speaking. He says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people from one another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.